Well, praise God. Get your Bibles out this morning. And if you would, go to Matthew chapter 6. Something else, let me remind you. The Sunday services, we've had some problems. Our computer crashed back there, and we've lost a couple of weeks of recording. But all the services, Sunday morning, we get through Sunday morning, we get through Wednesday night. Within a week, they're on the computer. If you go to thewaterhole.net and pull up the site and go to media and pull it down, within the services of if you miss Sunday or you miss a Wednesday and you want to hear what's going on, the service is there live. Did you know that? Y'all just look at me. Do y'all have a computer? Do you know how to work it? So the services are there live. If you want to go to it or you want to tell a friend about it, you got somebody you were inviting to come to church, but they said, I don't know, I think that pastor's crazy. We'll say, well, go over there and listen to him on the internet for a few weeks, and maybe you can get calmed down. You won't be so overwhelmed when you come to church. And then the other thing is, and I've not yet heard it, but Brother Ivan tells me that now he is on the same radio station coming out of Corpus Christi that I've been on for years. And it's the KCTA station. And it's an AM station. It comes on, it's the dial number is 1030, and it comes on, I come on at 8:45, and he said he'd come on right before me, so he must come on at 8:30 and go to 8:45, then I'm going from 8:45 to 9 o'clock. So if you can get that radio station in the mornings, if you are in your car or something like that, but it's an AM station. So it kind of sometimes depends on the weather. Up here, we're kind of about the fringe edge of it. If you're in Sabinal, you can hear it really good and all the way down. But that station goes all the way through the valley, all the way to Laredo, and all the way to Beaumont. So it covers that whole area of Texas. So anyway, you can listen to it there and catch up and hear what's going on. Amen? So, I'm not in Matthew chapter 6. Let me turn there. Matthew chapter 6 here. I want to finish up on the message I was on last week. And, I'm one of these guys that I think that every message that I preach is the best message that I ever preached. When I get it, I see it hot off the throne of God. I believe it's the best word that ever came out of my mouth. And then next week it'll be the best. But today I really believe this is the best message that I've ever preached in my entire life. I can see this. I have this wild vision in my mind goes on that, y'all are going to grab it. It's going to change your lives, set you free. Just be so excited. You're going to go out. Never be the same after what you hear today. Can I have an amen? I know it. I know it beyond a shadow of a doubt that today's message has the ability to jump into your heart and change the way you think. But you got to be prepared to take it. To take it in. You've got to be prepared to let it sow in your heart. Amen? And so I want to pray for you because I want to believe, God, that today is going to just, your eyes are going to leap open. You're going to see something that you've never seen before. So here we go. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I just believe it's the best word I've ever preached, Lord. I believe it comes directly from the throne. I believe, Lord, that today it's like a hot coal that falls off the fires of God, off the altar of God down into the people's ears and their hearts, and it burns this message in us, Lord. That from this day forward, wherever we are, wherever we're going through, whatever good day we may be facing or bad day we may be facing, Lord, this message will always sound within our hearts. And we'll know, Lord God, that you're there with us. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. The reason why I say that is because most of the time, the things that you're going to walk in life and it's going to be a revelation to you is something that you're familiar with. Y'all with me? Like, for instance, I'm familiar with my surroundings when we're ranching, when we're farming. I'm familiar with things. I grew up like that around equipment. The other day I was out on the job and the piece of equipment wouldn't run. It wasn't even me. It's one of my subcontractors. And I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "I don't know. Thing won't run." And I said, "Well, do you mind if I look at it?" And, and it took me a little while to go dig through the thing to figure out where even the engine was in this thing. It was a piece of equipment I wasn't familiar with. Found it, looked at it, said, "Man, look right here. You got bad fuel, We drained the fuel filters. We put it all out and got the machine running." He said, "Man, I can't believe you. How did you know how to do that?" And I said, "Well, I didn't. I just know. Been around equipment. All y'all could do that. But for some people, it's just a mystery. Right? But if you've been around it all life and you're familiar with it, then it's not a mystery to you. It's something you do. Ladies in the kitchen, you're working, you're cooking, whatever you're doing, you're familiar if that's what you were raised with. If you weren't, then the kitchen's a strange thing. You know, my wife and I go over this all the time. Like, I got into this deal about wanting to make biscuits. I don't know what the deal was. I just wanted to make, so I got her, I said, come show me how to make biscuits. Well, it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it's like, well, you get about this much, you put that in there, and you throw this in there. Whoa. You don't measure any of this stuff? No, you don't. I said, well, how do you know how much you're putting in there? Well, I don't know. You just do it till it's right. How do you know it's right? I said, if somebody measured, I said, why do you have recipes then? Well, that's just kind of a general rule guide you just kind of look at. Like, well, how's a man going to do it? Open the can. That's right. That's what a man's going to do. Open the can. That's a good one, Jim. Okay, so we're here at one of the most familiar passages of Scripture here in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer. And I don't know how many of you could quote this by heart. If you were a child raised in school, like going to Sunday school or something like that, you know. I can remember in high school saying the Lord's Prayer before the Never mind, I'm not going there. Okay, so this is why I think this message has the ability to stay with you, because it's a familiar passage of Scripture. You're with me? So let's just start right here, and then I want to read it, and then we're going to go back. In verse 9, I want to start Matthew 6, verse 9. He said, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. See, I can't even say it. I can't even read it. I'm looking here. I'm reading the words. That's not what my Bible says. But I'm reading. I'm quoting it King James because that's what's in me. So I'm looking at it, and I'm not even saying what the words that are there. But this is what's in me. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Right? I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I imagine most of you in here are familiar with that scripture, familiar with that verse. Amen? No matter what denomination you're raised in, whether you're a Catholic or Baptist or Methodist or whatever, you know, Lutheran, you're familiar with that passage of scripture. Right? But we learn it as a prayer, as a rote prayer that we just recite this prayer, but not even really understanding what Jesus was talking about when he said, look, when you're going to pray, pray this way. He didn't necessarily mean pray those words. He meant pray this way. So don't go. I'm not trying to step on sacred cows this morning and get you all out of sorts, okay? I'm not saying we don't recite the Lord's Prayer. I'm just saying that's not really what he was talking about. What he was talking about was trying to show us about a relationship with our Heavenly Father and how the relationship should work and how we should be talking to our Heavenly Father. Right? So last week we talked and we went into this and we started at verse 9 there. It says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, or your kingdom come and your will be done. And we started talking about the great awesome power of your free will. When God made us, he made each and every one of us the ability to make a choice. When I look across it this morning, all of us are dressed a little different. And it's your choice what you put on. Some of us like red, some of us like black, some of us like brown. Whatever your colors are, you have a choice. We still live, as of now, in a free country where you can make a choice. Y'all with me? We still live where if you want to drink a Dr. Pepper, you can drink a Dr. Pepper, or you can drink a Coke if you want to. Everybody likes different things. I like radishes. Does anybody else in here like a radish? Oh, come on. Amen. Some radish people. All right. I love raw onion. How about it, Hillis? You want to go eat some onion with me? You don't even like cooked onions, do you? But it's our choice. It's what we like. It's what we and God said, you know what? I'm creating a creature on this earth. And they're going to be called man and woman. And I'm creating them and I'm giving those creatures the ability to choose to love me or not. The ability to choose to do my will or not. That is amazing. He said, I'm going to let you choose that you want to serve me because I want you to serve me and I want to know that you're doing it because you chose to, not because you were made to. So Jesus said, when you're praying to your Father who's in heaven, he said, the first thing you've got to deal with is your free will. You've got to deal with the ability to want to choose to do right. I talked about this a little bit about saying, what do you want written on your tombstone at the end of your life? What do you want people to say about you at the end of your life? That's what you're choosing to do right now by your actions today. Hello. Right? That's what you're going to be known by. And it's your choice. Some of us say, oh, well, wait a minute. You know, you don't realize, you know, I got in a bad situation in life and you know, it's life has thrown me some curveballs and I just ended up this way. Well, that's true. But that doesn't mean you have to choose to walk in it. You don't have to choose to be like the situation created you to be. You don't have to choose to be sour just because this world dealt you sour. Am I in the right place today? Y'all are all looking at me like I'm preaching crazy talk here. You have the ability to change. You have the ability to change. You have the ability to make a choice and the ability to say, I want to go there and go there. Praise God, we live in a country where you can still do that. I remember living and being over with in Russia and being there and talking to the people about their life and understanding everything. And because I've been there several times, and the longest I was there was for 24 days I was there. And I lived with the couple. I lived in their house, and I ate with them, and I would talk to them. And you know, when their children get to a certain age, they take a test. They take a standardized test, and that test tells them what they're going to do and be in life. And if you're a dummy, boy, you're going to get a dummy position. No chance are you going to be able to do anything. But if you're smart, they say, well, you're going to be a doctor. And you say, well, listen, I don't really want to be a doctor. I'd rather be, you know, an architect. And they say, well, we got other people over here that'll do a build. You got to go be a doctor. And people have to go do what that test tells them to do, what the state tells them to do, not what a person wants to do in their life. Because what if they were really smart but wanted to do something else? Or if they weren't so smart, but they were really could be great at this, but they never got an opportunity or chance to do it because they had no choice. And I noticed these people they just accepted it as a way of life. And it's like, well, why fight against it? Well, this is just what we got to be, and we're just going to, you know, that just. And when I saw them lose the heart and soul and the spirit of what God created us to be as humans, the ability to choose. Folks, I want you to say, I have told my kids this and told my kids this and told my kids this and told my kids this all their life. You can do anything you want to do. There is nothing that could stop you from doing whatever you want to do. Pick it out and we'll get there. Money's not going to be an object. Not that I'm so wealthy I could do anything, but money's the last thing I was worrying about. It's that ability on the inside of us to make a choice that God put on the inside of us. But when you take that ability, when you take, and just like this CD here, just say, this is, you know, this is my free will, and I pulled it out of my heart and said, okay, God, here, I give you my free will. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to do your will. I want to be pleasing to you. I want to be something that you look down from heaven and see me, and you're proud of me. You love me, and I want to do what's right. I want to be godly. I want to be good. I'm not saying I want to be a preacher, but I just want to go do what you want. I want to be reputable. I want to be honest. I want something good written on the end of my tombstone about me. I want to do everything I can to help people. I want to be, you see what I'm saying? You take your will and you say, Lord, that's what I want to do. I want to do your will. Folks, I want to tell you something. You have just released the greatest power, the greatest force on this earth because you just lined your power of choice up with God Almighty's will. And I want to tell you something. Something's going to start happening in your life. But this is where we get messed up. We get to thinking that at the moment we do that, then all of a sudden, you got it. Whoa. And you can see the end of the road down there. Oh, yeah. That's where I'm going to be. It don't work like that. What then God says is he wants you to take a step of faith. Because God will order your steps and prepare your ways and make all your crooked paths straight, is what the word says. And he wants you to take a step in faith and, okay, Lord, I'm going to head this direction. And believe it's you. You know what I've always said? After you've prayed a prayer like that, then you have to look at the options that are before you. And if all the things that you think where you should go, all the doors are closed and there's no way you could do it, and there's only one option left before you, well, then walk towards that one because that's the only door you got open. And then if you get up there and the door starts to close and then you'll notice something else over here opens or it's right around the corner you didn't see. But if you stand still, the Bible never says God blesses your standing stills. Right? It says God blesses your steps. You got to take a step. You got to walk. You got to believe. Oh, I know it's scary. I know it's scary, but you got to do it. You got to start praying and believing. You got to say, Lord, I just want to do your will. Lord, I'm believing God, this is you. I'm believing. You got to start moving because standing still, you're stifled. There's nothing going to happen in that spot. Look at the person saying, you got to move. You got to. You got to move forward. You got to take a step. Don't go try to jump out of the plane. But you got to take a step. You got to move in that direction. You can sit around all day long getting all the pros and cons and getting all of it listed and you say, well, if I do this and that and this and that, you can play the what if game till you ain't got no more what if. But you're still not going to get blessed until you move forward. Right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When you begin to take the power of your choice and line that up with God's will, you've released an amazing, amazing power within your life. It's going to start to affect everything around you. And the second thing that's going to start to happen then is when you start to pray and you say, Lord, your kingdom come, all of a sudden, there's going to be an increase of the presence of God in your life. Now listen to me. I mean, I've heard testimonies. I mean, I'm not like, you know, I'm not that old. But for half of my life, I've been serving the Lord with everything I've got. And I've heard every kind of testimony of everything about people having an experience with God. The one I love the most there were some young people at a camp really serving the Lord, just been hungry for God, been up all night praying, and they were just praying, God, we want to see your face. God, we want to see your face. And then one of them brought up the thought, well, what if the Bible says that if you see God's face, you die. So what if we prayed so hard that we really saw God's face and it killed all of us? So then they started discussing this. And so they kind of got a little scared about what they were praying. And so they were down on the floor in this, you know, kind of like if you'd gone to, you know, like summer camp or something, and they were down laying on the floor, and they had been praying this, and finally one of them, he kind of, you know, peeked up, and he looked, and he saw something. He said, "Oh my gosh, it is God. He's in the room with us. Holy cow, it's God. He's in the room, and if I look, He's going to kill me. I know it. I'll die. I'm just going to die right here if I see God. But I really want to see God." And he took another quick peek, and sure enough, man, he could see it's like a flame of fire over there. And he said, "Oh, God's in the room. Oh, he got all anxious and everything." And finally, he decided, "Well, I'd rather die. I'd just soon die. I'd rather die, but I've seen God's face. I'm just going to look." And so he just opened his eyes and raised up and looked. And then he began to look and look and look again. And what he was seeing was the pilot light on the hot water heater when he was down at that level was right over there. It wasn't God, it was the pilot light. All I'm saying is we can get that crazy sometimes, trying to have this great giant experience with God. And we want it like a flashbang and poof, then you got it. But the reality is, 99.999% of all of us in this world are going to live by faith. And what God's requiring us is to walk by faith. And what he's requiring us to do is to take that step of faith and believe that he is there with us, and believe that Hebrews 13:5, where he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us, that God is there. And wherever there's two of us gathered together in his midst, that he's here and among us. And that by faith we start to live in such a way that we become sensitive and aware of the presence of God around us. Not because you get goosebumps, not because your hair stands up, but because you realize that God is with you in everything he said he would be, and that his presence is ever there. Am I talking crazy talk again? It's an awareness. Listen to me. When I said 25 years I've served the Lord with all of my heart. The prior years to that, you know, I didn't want my mother going with me. Places I went, things I did, and things I said, I didn't want my mother in the back seat. But all of a sudden, if you start realizing, if the presence of God is with you and God is there in everything you do, you know, it makes you stop and think about what you're doing. Hello? So when you're confronted with a situation and the flesh side of you, the emotional side of you, wants to handle it a certain way, you know, you're going to give them a piece of your mind. I always tell myself every time I say, "I ought to give them a piece of mind," I think, I don't have that much to spare. So I always tell myself, don't be giving none of that away. You need to keep all you got, because you're doing barely functioning like you are. Don't be giving none of it away. Y'all with me? That's what I tell myself. But hey, it becomes when you get so by faith, always walking in the presence of God and God's with you, then all of a sudden, you know, he's right there. Well, man, it changes some things. And when you get to that place in life that you're really wanting to walk like that, and every day you're saying, "God, I want you to be with me. I want your presence with me. I want you there with me, Lord. Everywhere I go, everything I do, I want you there with me, Jesus." Folks, he shows up. And crazy things happen. I told y'all last week, I tell you again, because I got multiple witnesses in here. I actually, on the job the other day, we were given the wrong measurements for 20 pieces of pipe we had to cut, metal pipe, had to cut with a cutting torch. We were given the wrong measurements, cut them wrong, put them up, and we're right. Only God can do that. And I just stepped back and I said, "Man, thank you, Jesus. Man, that is so cool." And they're right. See, it's those little things. I don't need to see a giant fireball go through the sky. I say, "Oh, that was God." Man, I see those little things all day long. Sometimes I'm sitting there, I will admit, saying, "Where are you? God, hello? Did I miss the bus this morning, or where are you?" This is not the way I like to see things going. You know? Doesn't mean just because I walk out, everything's like, you know, angels are throwing rose petals down in front of me as I walk through the day. There's other things being thrown down in front of me and I have to watch. But his presence. You start to ask him for his presence. Lord, thy kingdom come. Your presence. I want your kingdom coming in my life. I want your kingdom to come in my life. Not, I want your kingdom to come. I'm going to die and go to heaven. But I want your kingdom to come today in my life. And this free will you gave me, I think you could do better with it than I can. But even after all these years, I find myself telling God what I think he should do. And I'm just thankful that he doesn't get mad at me and kick me out, you know, and say, I've about had enough of you. Or he sees my prayer come up on his caller ID and said, oh, it's Robert, I don't want to talk to him. I'm glad that he does have a merciful touch, and every day is the mercies of God are fresh and anew every morning for me. And he doesn't get exasperated with me and say, man, how many times have I tried to get it through your hard head? And when his presence comes, it's by faith you're walking. You're saying, every day you're saying, Lord, I thank you that you're with me today. And you know what's really funny is that, yeah, you know, I ride a Harley, and when I first started riding, I really prayed really intense before I left. I mean, there was like no lay me down to sleep prayers. It was like, oh, Jesus, Lord God, angels, everything. I mean, I prayed. I mean, I was fervent in prayer. And now that I've been riding, you know, for a couple of years, and I'm getting better more, and the other day I caught myself and said, you know, Lord, I'm such a fool. What do you think? I can't do nothing. What am I doing? About to pull out of the garage here and I have just kind of thrown up some little lay me down to sleep prayer. What am I doing, Lord? And I just stopped, shut it off, and went and worshiped the Lord and said, Lord, you know, you're everything to me. And not that I feel like there's something bad going to happen today, but I didn't honor you like I've been honoring you, and I'm sorry. See, folks, we've got to have those times in our life. But we get so used to just living our lives and accustomed to living our lives and walking every day, and that we forget to stop and honor him in everything. Honor him in everything. Now, the last thing is what I really want to talk to you about. This is all just icing on the cake. This is a review from last week. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Excuse me, let me back up. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The third thing you got to understand here is that God did not leave you defenseless. He did not leave you down here as an orphan. He did not leave you defenseless. He didn't just leave you down here to try to fend yourself through life to make it to the other end, that whenever you die, at whatever time that would be, you'd cross the pearly gates and be into heaven. What he did for you was he said, I'm going to set it up to where I'm going to give you my name. And you can use my name on this earth. And as you use my name on this earth, then everything, then you're bringing it underneath that authority and that dominion. One time I was in the jails, not in jail, but I was in the jails preaching. And I remember just saying to the guys, I said, now, in order to get into heaven, what if there was a secret password? Well, nobody heard that I said, what if? And the whole group just began to become panicked. And they said, there's a password to get in heaven? Nobody told us there's a password to get in heaven. What do you mean there's a password to get in heaven? I said, no, that's not what I said. I said, what if? No, what if there's a password? Preacher, come on, tell us what the word. Well, you got to tell us now. What's the password? And they just began panicking. There was about 20 guys. And I could not get through their head that I was just trying to say, now, what if there was a password? Until finally I said, okay, the password is Jesus. And they're like, oh, okay. Now, preacher, don't scare us like that. Nobody ever told us things like that. And I said, well, if there was a password, is what I said It would be Jesus, but there it is. There's your password, guys. Jesus. Like, okay, Jesus. Man, got that. Remember Jesus. Jesus, yeah, we got that down. I want you to see something here. I want you to turn to Matthew 28. I want you to hear out on Jesus' own words what he said. In Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus is speaking and he said, all. Everybody say all. Okay, now that's not, just so that we can have it on the recording here, we can have it to know what I'm talking about. That is not O-I-L. This is A-L-L. All authority. How much is all? Everything, right? If all authority has been, he says all authority has been given to me, then that means there's no authority that's not been given to Jesus. Right? If all is all, then all is all, right? There's nothing else. Nobody can step up and say, oh, yeah, but not this part. No. All is all. All authority has been given to me in heaven and where? He said, all authority has been given to me. And then the next one is verse 19. He says, go. If all authority was given to Jesus because what he did for you, if the sacrifice that was made, that he made for you and went to the cross and died for you so your sins would be forgiven, and he made that sacrifice that gave him all authority in heaven and on earth, all right? Then there's nothing that's not under the name of Jesus. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Let me show you something else here. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 9, therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Now look at this, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The Apostle Paul said, not just heaven and earth, but under the earth. The book of Ephesians tells us when Jesus died that he went to the lower parts of the earth. He went to hell. And Revelations tells us that he got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he said, ain't nobody dying and going to hell. At least they don't want me in their life. And he got hold of the keys. So Jesus, it says, read on a little bit here more. I'm in the wrong chapter. That's okay. Let me just finish here. Go to chapter 1 of Hebrews. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 1. So Jesus, Paul's saying it here. He says that it's heaven, earth, and hell. I'm paraphrasing. Y'all with me? He said when Jesus went down there and he defeated death, hell, and the grave, he got the keys of the death of hell, and he ascended to heaven. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 1, 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, the expressed image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The name that's been given to every one of us, the name of Jesus. The one thing he left you with on this earth to say, I'm giving you this delegated authority and power that in the name of Jesus, if you use or operate in the name of Jesus, everything in heaven will adhere to it. Everything on this earth has to adhere to it. And everything in hell has to stop and get out of your way because you use the name of Jesus. Let me ask you a question. When you gave your heart to Jesus and you got saved, you used the name of Jesus. And your life was changed and salvation came into your life. And you know salvation came into your life. You know something changed. You know something happened. right? He said, look, it's like a police officer. A police officer has a badge, he has a gun, but he has a name. Whatever sheriff's department or whatever he's working for, whatever agency he works for, however that works, he has a name. Stop, this is the FBI. They don't say stop in the name of Robert. They say stop, federal agents, the FBI. Right? Am I right? They don't holler their own name out. Hey, stop, Mrs. Zeke. What's up with that? Ain't nobody going to listen to that. But they stop and say, federal agents, U.S. Marshals. Y'all with me? Whatever they would say, however they would say it, whatever agency they would be with, they don't use their name because their name doesn't mean anything. Right? It's the name of the agency. So when all of a sudden you say, hey, stop in the name of Jesus. According to what the scriptures have said, everything in heaven comes to attention and says, what? Everything that's going around this earth has to stop and say, what? And everything in hell says, oh, don't say the name of Jesus. Don't say the name of Jesus. Years ago, long time ago, back in the old days when I was carpentering, just gotten saved, I was working just as a carpenter, $5 an hour. And the guys one day decided they were going to get me. And so they brought this information and all this stuff about aliens. And were trying to get me to say that there was life on another, you know, other planets, and you know, there could be aliens, and that there's evidence about this, and they're showing me all this stuff, you know, and just trying to really, you know, get me. And so finally, you know, I just said, look, guys, I ain't arguing about that stuff, you know, I don't believe it, you know, whatever. And they just kept on. So finally, I stopped and said, that's it, I've had enough. I just want to tell you something. I don't care what it is. My Bible says that everything in heaven, and that's heaven, and on earth and under the earth is subject to the name of Jesus. So if a little green man gets off a ship and sticks a ray gun in my face, I'm going to rebuke him in the name of Jesus. And everybody just looked at me like, oh, you are crazy. And I was like, that's what I believe. End of story. And that was the end of it. We didn't talk no more about aliens after that. But I'm telling you, I don't know what it is, but the Bible says it's subject to Jesus. That all authority has been given to him. And if all authority has been given to him, there is no authority that's not been given to him. So I still stick to my guns. A green man gets off a ship with a ray gun. Boy, he's in some serious trouble. He stepped on my turf. And if a 240 grain jacketed hollow point out of a 44 Magnum can't take care of it, well, boy, I tell you what. The name of Jesus will. We probably need to edit that. So when troubles and trials are coming your way, you've just got through saying the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name, and the name's been given to you. And he wants you to do something with it. When troubles and trials are coming, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's oppression. I don't care if it's some stupid thought that's going through your mind. I don't care if it's a day of discouragement. I don't care if it's whatever. It's subject to the name of Jesus. Subject to the name of Jesus. Every problem I come up against in life, physical, mental, whatever the problem would be. I don't care if it's in building and construction. And something's going on. It's not right. And I say, man, I don't know. But Father, right now, I just declare in the name of Jesus, you got an answer here somewhere, Lord. And I want it. I'm not going to listen to doubt and unbelief. But Lord, I just thank you in the name of Jesus, you're going to make it happen. That's the way I pray. I pray like that all day long. That's normal verbiage for me. Just normal verbiage for me. Because I know that everything has to bow to the name of Jesus. Folks, he's given you a name. He's given you authority. He did it. You didn't do it. You just worked for the agency. but use it. He gave it to you for a purpose and for a reason. So you don't have to walk through all the mess and go through all the yuck that anybody else wouldn't like. He gave you the name. He gave you his presence. And all he wants is your free will to line up with his will. And folks, you've got the most powerful, powerful, powerful things to walk with in life. The most powerful formula to walk with in life. The presence of God, the name of Jesus, and the power of your will lined up with his. There's nothing that'll stop you. Absolutely nothing that will stop you. Amen. Amen. Well, put your Bibles up.